This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, the report of the Iraq Study Group is released. The Senate confirmed Robert Gates as defense secretary, replacing Donald Rumsfeld. And the 109th Congress scrambled to finish a backlog of legislation before adjourning. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And, Dan, this report has been issued of the Iraq Study Group after 9 months of interviews.
I heard.
100 pages, 79 recommendations.
Right.
What do you see as the most significant findings?
Well, the most significant finding is very short. It is that the war in Iraq is grave and deteriorating. And, of course, it isn't that simple, and so they have 79 ways of fixing it, but none of which seems to please the administration very much. And what they're saying now is that the stay the course simply is no longer a viable option, that now you have to find a new way forward or a new strategy to be tried. The emphasis is on new. And they also say that they've got to take all 79 recommendations together or not at all, which I don't think is going to sit very well with this administration.
Would the recommendations, if accepted, represent a change in the premise of U.S. policy there and the goals?
I think so. I think that the way it is phrased, they simply are saying that you cannot win this street by street and block by block. You need to take a whole new approach to the whole thing, which means, in fact, that you've got to get the endorsement of the president to be able to withdraw troops, at least the combat troops, leaving behind a rapid reaction force, and then get a regional conference together. And that regional conference, which would include Iran and Syria, would then try to do something to bring stability to Iraq. It is new. Whether it's acceptable, however, is something else.
Well, how do you assess President Bush's reaction?
President Bush's reaction was to say, yeah, this is one of many things that I'm going to be studying. And right now, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have a meeting at the Pentagon, a meeting with the State Department, a meeting with experts who are not in the government, and then I'm going to get around to writing a whole new speech before Christmas, and then you will see what I think. Mm-hmm. But he makes it clear that what I think, the president thinks, is somewhat different, maybe a lot different from what this panel thinks.
Let me ask about the confirmation of Mr. Gates as defense secretary, because he was approved 95-2. Hard thing to get a near unanimous vote these days on much of anything.
Right.
How did he win so many people over?
Well, I think in a very simple way. When he was asked what he thought about the war in Iraq, he says that America is not winning that war. The only person in the administration, although he wasn't in the administration yet when he said it, the only one who appears to be allowed to say we are not winning that war, that is not the, and that sits very well with Congress, many of whose members have been saying we're not winning that war. So I think that, and in general air of candor that he managed to transmit, endeared him to this Congress and the new Congress.
Mr. Gates, of course, was a member of that Iraq Study Group. Now, he says he knows now he has a new job, and he serves at the pleasure of the president in that new job.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see him as being a kind of in-cabinet advocate for the 79 recommendations?
No, I think it's hard to guess about somebody I don't really know. I have the impression he will not be the advocate for any particular course of action. I think that he wants to take this back to where the Pentagon was in the past, and that is to say the president tells us and we go and do it. I'm not going to make policy all my own. And I think that is the sense that he is not impinging on policy, I think, is what endears him to Congress.
Hmm. Congress, how productive, in your judgment, has the 109th Congress been?
Well, in short, not very. I mean, this is a Congress which had trouble even getting the money together to pay for the government to run, mm-hmm. let alone an immigration bill, let alone any of the other things they're supposedly working on, most of which have been pushed off into the next Congress. I can't help it. When I think of Congress, I think of Mark Foley.
The congressman from West Palm Beach.
Former congressman from West
Palm Beach. Former congressman, yes.
Who played all those little games with the pages working for the Congress. The Ethics Committee says he shouldn't have done that. That's about as far as you get progress in this Congress.
Mm. People ran the numbers this week. The 109th Congress wasn't in session as much as some of the previous ones. Let me just put it that way.
Well, it was very close to. It almost rivaled President Truman's the worst Congress we've had.
He called it the do-nothing Congress, I believe.
He called it exactly the do-nothing Congress. I guess you would call this the do-not-very-much Congress.
Something reported this week, I want to ask your reflections on. The Supreme Court apparently has fewer cases on the docket this term, almost 40% fewer than last term. We've heard so much in recent years about the backlog in cases in the court. Why so fewer cases?
Well, I think apparently because many of these are settled at lower levels and don't reach the Supreme Court. And that would be, I imagine, one reason.
There's something else of note this week, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I think it's of note for a whole lot of people and friends of Bill Sapphire. I just learned a little while ago that my friend Bill Sapphire is getting a Presidential Medal of Freedom. I think nobody is better entitled to it. And if I can say it's a matter of personal privilege, Bill, you deserve it.
No. You have to watch your language around him, don't you?
Yes.
Or he watches it for you. That's the great thing about Bill Sapphire. Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure thing.